You sent 650 words to the group chat in an hour. Right,
that's like
an assignment. Bro, I don't write that fast when I'm doing an essay.
that's a little concerning. But anyway.
We here.
Yes, sir.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to episode 69 of the Six Star Box Podcast.
We've done it.
It's a big day here in the studio.
It's just you didn't even say anything for the number of episode
69.
Yeah,
we're here.
We've been leading up to it every time since like 67.
It's big.
Can you doubt me up at these?
It's big. Like, is it big?
It's big.
It's big.
It's big.
Oh, it's really big.
Yeah,
and a fitting month too. Anyways,
welcome back to this football podcast, everybody, where we're talking about Messi out of the MLS Cup playoffs.
My boy Brad,
Brad
Guzan.
Yeah, football won.
Yeah,
football won. We're talking about the Premier League is over, not just Arsenal, not even just your team, just the Premier League in general with the whole referees and everything. I'm sorry.
I told you.
As long as your team keeps losing, I'm gonna be.
No. I was right. I just want everyone. We can get just this whole podcast and everything surrounding it. The whole theme of it is Blake was right about everything that has conspired.
If that helps you cope.
No, it is. But go ahead.
Yeah. Then also, where we have now learned that the winners of the 2026 World Cup will have the trophy handed to them by Donald J. Trump.
Oh, did we learn
what
that?
What a game!
Did we learn that?
What we a learned game. It.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why can't it be like whoever wins the Canadian election next year?
No, it's going to be American. Well, it's going to be in New Jersey as well. So it's going to be, well, the Emir of Qatar handed Messi the World Cup trophy.
Oh.
The tradition is usually the leader of whatever the host country
right.
is hands the trophy to the captain. Wow. So, could see Trump up there.
Is he Trump giving?
Who's Mexico's leader?
Fuck do I know?
It's well, actually it's
what political system do they have?
She's a
is it a girl?
Love
a
that.
She's
like a Jewish professor and she's the president.
That's sick,
bro. How are they doing better than
that's
the U.S.?
That's what I'm saying, what bro. Anyway, we're not a politics podcast.
The
real
Mexico
politics.
Was ready for a woman, but the states weren't. So
that's crazy,
ridiculous,
bro.
It is.
He's a system president. That's all I'm saying.
We're not doing that.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. This is the last we're talking about politics. We have a lot to get through on this fine episode. A lot of our teams are in a bit of a shambles right now. We're talking about Champions League. We're talking about Premier League. We have big controversy to talk about that's broken today. And I'm looking forward to it, boys. Let's go around the table. Antoine, how has your week been?
My football? Week's been pretty good. The day's been awful, though. I'll take you through the day. So obviously the 6 a.m. wake up doesn't help in the mood, right?
Because
I have an 8 a.m. class.
Never
yeah.
I drive to the station, to the train station. The drive is fine. Towards like the last 5 minutes, I start feeling a little bit of wobble on my right side. I'm like what?
Starts getting a bit shaky.
What is going on? I don't know. I guess the tire popped somehow, and I arrived at Clarkson, parked up, and my car is my right front right tire is just flat. So definitely have to fix that.
Do you have a spare tire?
I do have a picture of it.
Oh wow, that's
it's
very flat.
It's pretty poor.
Do you have a spare tire?
I think like, she just went studs up on a
she went with Sandra Martinez
or something. I do have a spare tire, so I will try to fix that. But on top of that,
do you know how to do that?
I mean,
a little TikTok tutorial.
A little YouTube tutorial.
I've gotten that one for
on the floor before. Of Clarkson while it's raining. I'm down.
All right.
On top of that,
it's character development.
I have an assignment due and I didn't finish it.
Hmm.
So it's shout out Sheps, but it's not been fun.
I'll send you the subscription. Oh. Don't worry.
Thanks.
Blake, how about you? How's your week been?
It's like not good, lads. Like, for me, football wise, it's been absolutely awful.
It's been
for
awful.
Me,
it looks awful.
The Leafs are buzzing though. The Buds are buzzing.
Yeah,
which is good. I don't know what else you want me to say. Like, it hasn't been good. I'm getting really busy. I'm going to Florida in 2 weeks to watch my beloved Leafs, which I'm excited about.
Hey.
But the rest of my family's in Florida already, and I'm just not there. So,
Raptors have been kind of entertaining for the last place in the league.
They've been entertaining. Like, they just need to lose and get that flag.
Try to capture the flag, maybe.
Yeah.
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 I'm going to the Raptors game on Friday. You know what's ending at the same time? Taylor Swift concert. It's going to be a brutal commute home.
Yeah.
That didn't garner the reaction I thought it would. Anywho, Miles.
I feel for you, buddy. No, it was, you know, I'm sort of in the same boat as Blake. Is like, it was like not great football, not great weekend for like the team and whatnot, but yeah. I had a nice weekend, you know, went up to the cottage.
Yeah.
Hung out with some family.
Even when the football's going badly, doesn't mean the mental health has to be in the bin, you know?
Can still be good.
Yeah. You'll learn that when your team is shit.
Teams.
Yeah, teams.
Anyway, let's go to the recent news.
Let's go to the recent news. We're starting straight from the top.
First of all, before we go any further, I want each one of you. Maybe not Miles, because obviously he's on my side. He's an Arsenal fan. No. But even Miles isn't always on my side. So I want each and every one of you to look at me in the eyes and say I was right, because I'm not doing that. There's no way I went on a whole rant 3 weeks ago about the referees having agendas and having literally having like unconscious biases that make them like make decisions that would otherwise not be completely and utterly fair. And what comes out today, Julian? Explain to me what comes out today.
So today, a video comes out, we don't know how, but a video drops of Premier League referee David Coote.
Who is a well-renowned referee, by the way.
A well-renowned referee, whose Facebook banner was Old Trafford a couple years back. I don't know if you guys saw that. But his reputation was already a little bit shady. So the video leaks today of David Coote, presumably on a bender with a couple of uni kids. Which is a little sus in itself.
To each their own.
You're like 39 going on whatever, with university kids.
And this is like lockdown period, I think so. And then this like kid that's like our age basically is with him on like a Snapchat saying like, what do we think of the Scousers? Fucking cunts they are. He goes on a rant about Jurgen Klopp at the time, the Liverpool team, saying that he hates the team, he hates Liverpool, he hates the Scouse.
I feel like Miles should be reading this quote here, because he does the accents very well.
Yeah.
I can give it to you if you want.
Give him the script?
Hold on, there's holes in the story there. If he hates Liverpool, he doesn't have a Scouse accent.
No, he doesn't, but you can still do it.
I'm not saying.
Nice accent there. The right pop one.
What accent do you want me to do? Give
us a Scouse accent. Give us a Scouse accent.
Well, reenact it. What do you think of the Scouse, David?
Then he accused me of lying. Then he just had to write fucking puff at me. I've got no interest in speaking to someone's fucking arrogance. I don't do my best to not speak. James Milner's all right. I get with Milner. Again, Coote holds his mobile phone up, showing him acting as the fourth official in the Liverpool game. Standing there next to Milner and Klopp and wearing a mask. You can ask.
Oh, he's not done. Sorry.
Yeah, with a mask and social distancing. I just sound Irish at this point. 10 meters apart, but my God.
It started really well.
Yeah.
That might have to be German.
I'm so sorry.
Anyway. So that
Monday
happened.
Monday sillies.
Yeah. And like I said, I went on a whole rant 3 weeks ago about how these referees have apparently not subconscious biases, conscious biases that affect their decision making, that make the games not officiated fairly. Yep. And I outlined this perfectly. And you said, Blake, Julian, you asked me, Blake, what should we do to counteract this? And I said, there's nothing you can do except criticize and keep pointing it out when decisions that seem suspect happen.
But suspect decisions happen all the time. That's the problem. That's the thing. David Coote's recent decisions against Liverpool. Let's go through it.
Oh, you want me to? I got you.
Do it. Go through it.
First of all, the incident that they were talking about here in question.
Yeah, do it.
It's the Liverpool game where they lost their 100% record at home against Burnley in 2020 during COVID.
I actually remember that.
It was when, in the second half, he waved away a strong penalty appeal from Liverpool after Burnley's Johan Berg-Gudmundsson dispossessed Andy Robertson in the Burnley penalty area.
Good player.
What's funny enough is that it's not the only time that David Coote's refereed it's not the only time he's been at made a controversial decision in a Liverpool game. Liverpool.
Yeah.
Another one he made. Do you remember?
Oh, I know. Say it. I know.
Do you remember?
I remember. Just say it.
The Pickford challenge on Van Dijk, where he tore his ACL and suspended him for the rest of the season.
Not when it wasn't a penalty. And
didn't get.
I was going to that.
Yeah.
And didn't get a red card or a penalty. That was David Coote. Mm-hmm. Do you remember?
I do.
Martin Odegaard.
I do.
Playing basketball. But there's an Arsenal agenda, apparently.
Don't do that. Don't rage bait me. Because in that... Don't do that. Because I didn't go on... No.
So he's been at the root of two Liverpool games where it's been controversial.
Yeah. You think Michael Oliver doesn't have biases?
Yeah, I feel like if you dig a little deep, you'll definitely find stuff.
That's what I'm saying. And in that discussion, Julian, you son of a bee, because I'm trying to be more family friendly on this podcast now.
We've already said see you next Tuesday. Yeah.
I outlined the fact that this bias affects every team, including inside the Big Six, outside the Big Six. I outlined that. And in this case, yeah, Arsenal wasn't the direct culprit of this terrible officiating. But that doesn't mean it hasn't happened with another referee. This doesn't mean that from this point forward, referees are going to be looked at in a very different light. You don't think Martin Tyler, Michael Oliver and Paul Tierney, these guys, you don't think they're going to be going around there living out their days now with the minds of a nun. Like they can't do anything wrong, because if they do, every single thing they say now is going to be scrutinized.
Well, isn't that good though?
That's fantastic. That's great. And it's hopefully what this does is it takes away that bias I'm talking about, or makes them question their bias as they're playing the games.
Mm. Maybe this is what the Premier League needed.
Wanted. Yeah.
Maybe it's what the Premier League needed for a biased referee to get fired. Now everyone's in check. Yeah. And every single wrong move they make is going
to
be analyzed.
I wish I said this. I wish I said someone needs to get called out. I would have looked so smart.
But this is the thing, right? Effect. Like we kind of forget that. We definitely forget that players are human, but we sometimes forget that referees are human. Like the guy was on a pisser with a few uni kids, and I think the week before he was getting like shouted at by the Liverpool players. So do I see where he's coming from, and do I see it from a human side? Yes. Does it just because he was drunk complaining to somebody about Liverpool, does that mean that he went in with an inherent bias against them the next time? I don't know. That may be a little bit of a stretch. Like, if we're being completely honest, I think we're making the assumption that just because he didn't like Liverpool for a time on a personal level, he punished them for it at a professional level. I think to make that assumption is a little bit out there, just a little bit, because...
No.
I was going to say if I was a referee, but...
No, but it's not, though, because that comes with a job. You have to stay impartial, and he lost all credibility by saying that. That's like a judge having a bad experience with, like... Let's say a judge has a bad experience with, like, a certain race. Let's say a judge has a bad experience with white people.
Sure.
And the next, like, white person, hillbilly, he has to sentence to prison. Mm-hmm. The judge makes the call to sentence them to like a longer prison sentence because he had a bad experience with that. And maybe not, but if something comes out about the judge saying something about hillbillies that he hates them,
you're not even when he's judging hillbillies.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. Very different scales. Yeah. One's football, one's the life of a human being.
You are right.
But it's the credibility that's completely gone because of that whole situation.
No, you're right. I'm trying to play devil's advocate here, but you are absolutely right. He shouldn't, at the minimum, never referee a Liverpool game ever again, or anything close to a Liverpool game. Because there are referees that if you grew up in an area in England, you can't referee the local team.
Yeah.
So I think Michael Oliver doesn't claim to be a Newcastle fan, but because he grew up in that area up in the north, he can't referee Newcastle games. But it's kind of a loophole, because then you could referee their biggest rivals' games, and you could influence where that team indirectly is going to place in the league. Yeah. So it is a bit odd. I was hearing rumors that David Coote was on VAR. For the Rodri handball chess controversy against Everton that one year when Liverpool lost the league by like a point on the final day. So I'm hearing the streets are saying that Coote cost them the league.
I also saw that David Coote's denying it and saying that it's AI.
Oh my God, I saw
there's
that.
There's no
you
way.
Fucking
is he actually denying
prick.
It? He's saying it's AI.
He said it was AI.
No this, way.
That's fucking ridiculous.
Which I'm not
bro.
Giving him. I'm not saying it's.
No,
it's
no, no,
AI,
no, no.
But you look
not
at it
no, AI bro. At all. You
no,
can
bro.
Tell, bro.
The lad recorded it on Snapchat and sent it to a friend.
Okay.
Like, it's so obvious, mate. I know AI is getting scary these days, but.
But, like,
bro,
why does it come out now? Like, it's just weird.
It is weird,
probably
but probably because,
around.
Like. Bro, probably like
you know how
some
easy
friend
is?
Sent it to a friend and then it got shared around. Then a couple years later, someone decided to leak it just because.
Like, a friend tells a friend, then. He tells a friend and then they have an argument. Oh, I'm going to leak this. Okay, bang, leaked.
Yeah, or that's it's just crazy. Been so long they feel like causing some chaos.
Yeah.
In it.
Yeah. Premier League was getting a bit dry.
Bro, who's sitting there being like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do it with this revolutionary AI video technology that nobody else has access to. I'm going to make a fake video of David Coote. Get the fuck out of here, bro.
Well, anyway.
AI is not that good. Not yet.
So do I get, and I was right?
You get some flowers.
Okay.
But you get like a poppy. Hey, remember instead.
Hey, oh, actually, speaking of, we should say.
Lest we forget.
Yeah, lest we forget. We probably should have been wearing poppies in this.
Yeah, we should have.
But it's okay. If we can all make a, I don't know, a conscious decision to donate or something in the next week, then that should do it.
I like that.
We should do that.
Sure.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
Lest we forget.
We forget, for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, where were we next? Does this really change anything about referees in Premier League? And
I think it does.
Stuff?
I think it does, too.
I think it does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, they're going to be...
Hopefully Arsenal gets some more penalties, baby.
Every single mistake they made, they're going to think, yeah. is this bringing up my bias?
No.
Like Blake said.
Maybe this is on the Premier League and PGMML, so for not doing like a sufficient background check.
It almost gives you the idea, like, should leagues hire referees abroad?
That's what I was thinking. I think they should. I don't see a reason. Apart from language barrier, I don't see a reason why they shouldn't.
Yeah.
I mean, prime teams have also been done up in the Champions League. Let's not forget.
What did you say?
Like, teams have been, like, screwed in the Champions League with foreign refs.
Look, and it's going to be with every team. Like, none of us really like Madrid. So if we were going to, you know, that's a bias we have. But we don't feel that strongly for or against. It's so hard. But it's the outlandish, strong opinions that are biases. That's the ones we need to get rid of.
Yeah.
You're absolutely
but anyway.
Right. Shall we move on to the actual games, or is there something else to say about Mr. Coote?
No.
No. We done?
Let's go.
All right. Let's go. We're going to start chronologically back to last week's Champions League games. We're going to skim over them as much as we can, but, I mean, there are some results in here we do have to talk about, unfortunately.
W Milan,
bro. There's actually a point I want to make about that game when we get to it, but you're
was not... That was day one, though, no? It was the Tuesday.
No, we're starting with Inter Arsenal. We're starting with Inter Arsenal.
What do you want to know?
What do you want to know? What went wrong, Blake?
Lads, like, I need to stop being so reactionary because it just
it's not like we've been telling you this for over a year and now like.
No, I forget to like analyze the game from, you know, perspective where I can come on the pod and like talk. Like, I just get so angry. Like that whole game, I was just screaming my ass off because guys, lads, it was cross central. Mm-hmm. It was cross central. I don't. Who's winning a header from a corner? That's not from a corner either. Like, no. What are
you
doing?
I actually feel your pain so much because France do the same thing.
Well, Olivier Giroud, come on.
No. But like without Giroud,
but no. I don't know what the problem was. Again, the midfield creativity was absolutely lacking. Martinelli's so stagnant on the left wing. He doesn't do anything besides just run. I mean, he scored on the weekend, but again, I'm out on him, so there you go. Havertz is, again, I'm going to say this conversation twice because we have two games analyzed. Havertz he's not a game breaker. He's a great player, and he does a lot of things at the number nine position. Want to know who else did a lot of things at the number nine position besides scoring goals? Alexandre Lacazette, Olivier Giroud. Players who were serial non-goal scorers when they needed to be goal scorers for Arsenal.
Small game players.
Sure, but I'm more like they're just class. There's number nines who don't, their primary service to the team isn't scoring goals. And we need someone to just primarily score goals. He does a lot of good things, but he's just not a game breaker. It wasn't good. It was better than on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we controlled the game. They got a super lucky penalty. Inter didn't really scare me at all at any points of the game.
Really.
So, yeah, I overreacted because I was annoyed that we lost. But at the same time, like, Julian, you tell me, oh, it's just one game. Inter's good. Chelsea's good. Like, we're good, too. Good teams beat good teams. So, I'm... Arteta's built us up, which again, people saying Arteta out are so stupid. Arteta's built us up to have these standards and these expectations to be near perfect. So when I say that we need to be better, it comes from a place of love and it comes from a place of admiration for what Mikel Arteta has done for this team because he's built us up to be a squad that should expect the best of our team. So when I overreact, it comes from a place that I know we should be doing better.
That's fair. That's fair. And I do like that perspective as well. It is an overreaction.
The Inter one, I think maybe.
You
both is both.
I have way too much time on my hands. I copy and pasted all of the text that Blake sent.
Nice.
Put them in a Word doc saw the word count. You sent 650 words to the group chat in an hour. Right
there. That's an assignment.
Bro, I don't write that fast when I'm doing an essay.
That's a little concerning. But anyway. Yeah, I just
and that wasn't including voice notes either.
Yeah.
There is seriously that sense of Arsenal down, like Arsenal declining in form lately though.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely.
Yeah, and guys, once again, tell me I was right, because I was. I said this was going to happen. I know this team. I said this was going to happen.
You didn't have a reason, though.
You didn't have
I don't need to have a reason.
You said we're either going to be really good or are going to be really
no,
bad.
No, I literally said we're going to win 5 in a row or we're going to get like three points from our next three. And what happened? We have 1 point from our last like 4.
Yeah, but
I told you this was going to happen. Because I said that this they're going to band together and figure this shit out, or is going to.
But why are they not banded together already?
I don't know.
They weren't banded together against Inter, bro. You only had players really coming back for the Chelsea game.
Yeah,
yeah.
Hopefully,
and you were away at the San Siro to the team that are dominating Italy. All right, and then you went to Stamford
really
Bridge,
Italy.
Or did you?
This well, season.
You went to Stamford Bridge, right? Yeah, you went to Stamford Bridge against Chelsea, who are really good this season. And that game especially, like, you should have won. All right, fair enough. And the Inter, like, you mentioned, like, lucky penalty. They didn't really scare you.
Right.
You played relatively, like, okay in that game.
Right.
You're going to go through in the Champions League anyways. I don't think Arteta's losing sleep over it. Like.
Sure.
The league position is a little bit concerning. All right? What, eight, nine points off Liverpool now? But then again, there's the fixtures. You've played against some really good teams. They haven't really tested all that
just
much yet.
Villa.
Look at your upcoming fixtures, bro.
And I'm nervous about every single one. And this is the issue, guys. You look at the games, which is what I said you're supposed to do. You're supposed to look at the games as one at a time, which I agree is right. But when you lose those games, it makes the next game more important.
Oh,
so you can't look at them one at a time. You look at every, like,
shit.
We're playing Forest next. Forest are fifth.
Yeah.
You think, I'm not, yeah. Like, I don't care how good they're playing. We should win that game, but
so
we probably won't.
To put it into perspective about, like, where, like the difficulty of your upcoming schedule. So, you know on FPL, how
okay.
they rank, like, difficulty.
Give me the numbers. Give me the numbers.
FDR.
So you only have 4 fixtures in the next, what, 28 games that is a 4 out of 5.
Wait, actually,
or above.
You're such a liar.
Yeah. Spurs at home is a 4 out of 5. Man City at home is a 5 out of 5. Chelsea home is a 4 out of 5. Liverpool away is a 5 out of 5. The rest are just like your next 10 fixtures. Go Forest. Fair enough. They're having a good season, but that's very winnable. West Ham away. United
scary.
At home.
Scary.
West Ham away is scary.
Absolutely. Guys, I'm
going. What is this team
that's also. A very clear indication that shit is going down, because last year we were looking at Arsenal.
We beat them 5-0 away.
Last year we were skipping Arsenal games on the podcast because it was getting boring because they were beating every single team.
We're not that team. We regressed.
We regressed.
We're not good enough.
I just want to pull it up and compare Liverpool's as well. But then, like, after United, it's Fulham, Everton, Crystal Palace, Ipswich, Brentford,
Everton's
Brighton,
a bogey team.
Spurs.
Brentford's a bogey team. They beat us too.
Bro, Fulham, Everton, Palace.
Fulham are good this year.
I swear that's like the. That's 3 of the bottom 4 in 4 weeks.
And when we played the 2 teams who just got freaking promoted, what happened? We conceded first in both games.
Maybe now you have everybody back. You're fine. Like,
who's everybody? We had 1 player back. And like now, I still missing Calafiori, but the defense isn't as good as it was last year. The only person who's improved from last year is David Raya. Everyone else has has performed at the same level or worse. Ben White he kind of got cooked on the weekend by
tell me
low key,
with those fixtures, you cannot go on a run, is what I'm
we
saying.
We totally can. I just don't know if I have the confidence in us to do it. Besides Martin Odegaard, he's so good.
We're going
to
see, right? So Liverpool, they play Southampton next, easy. But then they host Man City. Then they go away to Newcastle. And they go away to Everton, which is
that's
a derby.
Always,
that's going to be tougher.
Game.
Home at Fulham, and then Spurs away, And then a few games later, they play United at home. It's probably a win, let's be honest. But, like, they still have... If we do that same ranking of, like, FPL difficulty rating, they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 that are listed at a 4 out of 5 or above. That's double the games that Arsenal have of equal difficulty. So you guys have played a much better, you know, crop of fixtures than Liverpool has. So the comeback is not insurmountable.
I'm glad you think so.
Like, we're 11 games in. Like, seriously.
Lad,
come on, bro.
The fact that City's underperforming too should be
Making
you even more optimistic.
I also want to point out that City's lack of performance is more concerning than Arsenal's lack of performance.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. 100%.
Like, you're fine.
Because there's no end in sight to, like, a Rodri coming back. The only thing they have to look forward to right now is January. Like,
yeah, they're going to bring in Zubimendi. Didn't we talk about that?
Like, Zubimendi doesn't do a job Rodri does. I don't think anyone can.
I think Zubimendi's the only man on the planet.
I'm so glad that City are going on a downfall as soon as Rodri wins the Ballon d'Or, because now people can actually see how much he actually meant to that squad and how much he deserved that Ballon d'Or.
He still did not deserve that Ballon d'Or, but I see where you're coming from.
Okay, well, we kind of went off the rails, so let's go back to the Champions League games, and we can go back to the Arsenal game.
We also had Liverpool beating Leverkusen 4-0. Xabi Alonso's return to Anfield. Are you okay?
I kind of almost want... This is going to sound crazy.
Oh, my God. He's tweaking.
I kind of almost want City to win more than I want Liverpool. Like, I'd rather City win than Liverpool win. Oh, my
God. You're not a fan of the pool, huh?
It's almost like they're a bigger threat to Arsenal this year in the league.
It's almost like you just don't want the biggest threat to Arsenal to win the league.
Well, no, it's also like, it's just not fair, you know? Like, they
not fair, blood wants City to win.
It's not fair that they're winning.
Well, no, like, it's like when another Canadian team's in the NHL final.
Oh, my God, brother.
I don't want the other Canadian team to win. I want it to be us, so I don't cheer for the Canadian teams in the final besides the Leaf. Liverpool's like the new up and coming. Obviously, I know they've already won a title in the past 6 years, but new up and coming team that's like supposed to challenge City. Mm. We were the first. Like, we're supposed to be the ones to win.
No, Liverpool were the first.
Yeah, I think they were.
No, Liverpool were the first. Then they went on a soft rebuild. Like, you know what I mean?
Soft rebuild.
They were not good for a couple
rebuild.
Years.
Bro, they brought nobody this summer.
What are you talking? I mean,
I get what you mean.
You know exactly.
I know, new manager.
They flopped for two seasons and now they're back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I understand that.
Flop's an understatement, bro. They were in the title challenge last year.
No, I'm saying the two seasons before that.
Yeah, they were not good.
Fair. Yeah, no, fair.
Anyway.
But like...
Can you give them
any credit for beating Leverkusen 4-0? Like, that's a massive result.
Why do you think I roll my eyes? They're too good right now.
It's convincing, too. That's a scary part. It's convincing.
That's why I roll my eyes. I hate them.
Yeah.
I hate them.
I love that you hate them.
I love them. I actually love watching them. It's great football.
I hate them too, man. Like, we're in the same boat here.
Ibu Konate is having a... Hold on.
He's having a better season than Saliba. I'll tell you that for sure.
Yeah. What is going on?
Anyways. Yeah, I don't know what sound's going on outside, but the mics aren't going to catch it.
It should be fine.
Yeah. Madrid 1, Milan 3. Crazy stuff. This was the game directly after... the pummeling to Barcelona.
Yeah.
So this is like a big response game, and then Milan come and smack them up.
They're kind
again.
Of in an Arsenal situation right now.
Ooh.
Well, they did win 4-0 the weekend, so
no,
I don't put too much on it. But I see where you're coming from. Yes.
Dude, it's actually insane. This Real Madrid downfall we're witnessing.
It's kind of funny.
Before our eyes.
No.
It's like it's predictable almost with all the egos in their team and every single superstar. Like, they have 3, if not 4, superstars. Like, world beaters in their team.
Bellingham hasn't scored since April. Is that right?
I think he just scored the weekend, no?
Well, before, okay, maybe.
Before that, he hadn't scored in like a long
time. Like, since April.
But that's in, like, 3 superstars that you need to manage.
I know.
That Carlo Ancelotti needs to manage. And I don't care about his stature and how many Champions League he's won and how many good players he's coached in the past. That's hard to do. You can't manage 2, let alone 3, let alone 4 superstars in one team.
Wow.
And that's where I think he's going wrong. I think he's making too many political decisions, and he's trying to make everybody happy, all the superstars happy, because obviously if you're a superstar and you're not playing, you're going to be upset.
But what manager wouldn't do that? That's the
problem. That's the point. That's the problem with having that many superstars on
that
team.
That's the Galacticos problem. I know.
That is the literal problem. He's making too many political decisions, and when everybody's not happy, shit goes down. And when everybody's playing and everybody's so happy because they're playing, they don't play well because it doesn't fit the system. Why is Mbappe playing? Why is Jude, first of all, not playing as a box-to-box midfielder, which is what he was initially signed to do.
Yep.
He played his first season as a false number nine.
Yeah.
Teared it up. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. Third in the Ballon d'Or, did great. Second season, when Mbappe comes in to fill that role, he's still not playing as a number eight where he was supposed to play. He's playing as a number 10.
Yeah.
It's like the defensive performance that Jude would bring to this Real Madrid side that definitely needs it when a Tchouameni and a Camavinga aren't playing at the highest levels and a Modric looks like he should hang up his boots anytime now. It is needed. And the fact that he isn't playing at that at that role.
Yeah. Bro, they're missing Cruz so much.
Mm. Yeah, the wrong.
Oh my god,
the wrong player retired for sure.
Yeah,
that's my boy. You're right. It's not like that
again. The center defensive midfielder, I know not as much as a six, but just the appreciation for them. We don't really know it until they're gone.
Yeah, because it's not super apparent. Like again, it's almost like the Rodri thing.
Yeah,
like it's not super apparent because you don't notice it. Like he's not scoring a million goals. He's not like pinging a million passes. I mean, Cruz probably is, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's not super apparent, but you're right. When it's gone, it's like, what the hell? There's just a gaping hole.
I know. It shouldn't be. Like, Tchouameni is a more than worthy replacement, right?
The whole midfield should be more than serviceable.
Like, oh my
more
God.
Than
serviceable. Are you kidding me? Yeah. So there is definitely a big setup issue. But then there's probably a big, like, politics issue in there as well. That dressing room cannot be fun to manage.
Nope.
Cannot be.
Impossible. And now Eder Militao is out for the season.
The ACL injuries
and they don't have it right back
anymore.
Poor
Eder Militao, man.
Why?
Well, Lucas Vasquez is injured. Not that he's a good player anymore, but
where's Danny?
He was there right back.
Danny's injured. Danny's ACL. Cold-bloodedly too.
Dude, Lucas Vasquez.
Oh right.
Dog shit.
Yeah, he's not good.
He
said it like he didn't even break a sweat saying that.
No, like seriously, the things Leao was doing to him.
Oh, yeah. Leao's that guy, man. That's why.
He's good.
Yeah, he is.
Made him his bitch.
Poor Adam Militao, I just want to say. Two torn ACLs in two seasons.
Yeah.
He's been back for, like, if you count last season, like 10, 15 games.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough.
And now he's back out.
Injury-prone players, man. Like, it's just sucks.
Oh, my God. So many ACL tears this season, and yet we're still going to have the Club World Cup. We're still going to be forced to play more games.
So now, what does the Real Madrid starting 11 look like now that Militao and Vasquez are injured and that you don't have a right back replacement?
We probably saw it on the weekend, if we're honest. Let's look at.
I got it.
Yeah.
It was 4-0 against Osasuna. And it was.
They're in crisis, guys.
It was Lunin, obviously.
Yeah.
Vasquez, but Vasquez got hurt, apparently.
Yeah, no, he got hurt that game.
Yeah.
So now.
Fran Garcia.
Yeah,
wow.
Fran Garcia is probably going to play on the left, and then they're going to put Ferland Mendy on the right side, I imagine.
Oh, God.
And then at center backs, you have Rudiger, and is it Nacho Fernandez next to him, or did he retire?
No, it's Nacho Fernandez.
So the people who came on.
Oh, my God. Behind him, it's Vallejo.
Hold
on.
Wait.
Jesus.
So. So a 21-year-old Raul Asensio came on for Eder Militao.
Yeah.
Then Brahim.
Brahim Diaz.
Brahim came on for Rodrigo, who also got hurt in that game.
Fuck. He's like a attacking midfielder.
Yeah, and then when Vasquez got hurt, Luka Modric came on for him. So they don't have a right back.
So you know what the streets are saying? I've heard some rumblings that they should sign Sergio Ramos as a free agent. Honestly...
That would be so sick.
I wouldn't... That's not the move.
No, obviously it's not the move.
That's not the move.
He's been drinking it up for a year and a half now.
This is not the move.
Prime back Ramos at right back.
Prime right back
prime
Ramos.
It's not prime, though.
It's just not prime.
I know.
Grandpa
Ramos, yeah. I
know. Coaching staff, perhaps. Maybe.
You know
good
what voice
do? For the dressing room. Good leader. Mm. But, yeah.
They should sign Casemiro.
What if they sign Trent in the winter?
Oh, yeah,
they
true.
Won't sign him in the winter.
They won't do it in the winter.
But imagine.
Who also got injured this weekend, apparently?
He also got injured.
Pulled out of England.
Yeah.
Really?
I think a lot of players
they did.
Got
like 10
injured.
Of them.
Dembele got injured, too.
But they're just trying to get as much of a break as possible.
They just want to play.
They don't want to play as many games as they're playing, bro, but they're just forced to, isn't it?
Yeah.
It kind of sucks, though. This is Tuchel's first window, and so many of the starters are out.
Who cares, bro?
What is it for? Nations League? Nations League, League B.
Yeah, maybe. Exactly. You think?
I don't give a
fuck. But international football, guys, it's the best, isn't it?
All I'm saying, if Arsenal keep going on this losing streak, you'll be talking about this on the same level of international football and club football.
Oh, I'm so happy we have an international break. I don't want to watch next week, and I won't because they're not playing.
International break, dude.
Yeah.
Third time in 2 months and a half.
Okay, what else happened?
It's actually ridiculous. Okay, let's move off Champions League. Sure. Next up.
No,
was,
City Lost.
Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa.
City
whoa,
Lost
whoa,
and PSG.
Whoa, sorry. Sorry.
Yeah, we have someone.
Sorry. Two more games. Holy shit. We're going to talk about City and then we're going to come to you, Antoine. Sporting 4. Man City 1. We called it, kind of.
You want to talk? You did.
And kind of.
You did call it.
You
call
said
it.
Transitional chances from Sporting still under Amorim in his last home game with the club.
With
against
Rodri
a
missing.
Wounded animal in Man yep. City. I told you, it was a recipe for disaster for the blue side of Manchester. And it fucking was.
Good shit.
It fucking was. The first half, I'm not going to lie, for Sporting, it looked a little Shakesville.
Yeah.
It looked a little rough. But it kind of demonstrated how much they could be a defensive unit. All right. The 3-4-3 is not as much as like a you score two, we score
Look
five.
Look at him analyzing the Amorim games.
It's
like
so annoying, bro.
Oh my God.
Of course. Really? Of course I will. What do you expect me to
do? I can't wait till when they see four goals to Brighton in one of their games.
Oh, 100% we will. 100% we will.
The wounded animal that is Manchester City.
Good
Jesus
to hear
Christ.
From you, Miles. Hi.
oh, no.
I'm sorry, bro. I'm sorry.
You lashed out there.
Listen, man, you come from my monologues, and
I fucking loved it. It's just funny the wound, like they just picked
just,
it up.
It just
I picked
off
it up,
the
and then they picked it up, so I had to. So I just had to add on to it. It was funny.
I'm sorry.
Don't apologize.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, Gyökeres, if he goes to United, I'm actually never
no. He won't go to United. There's,
no, I think Højlund will make it good, and we won't need him.
Højlund's gonna be good for United.
Yeah, I hope so, because that's again. That's like that would be the third striker in the last three windows, but you know, recruitment is so hard for United.
Oh my God! Speaking of strikers and coming back to a Real Madrid conversation, I'm bigging you up here. Blake said in February that Mbappe should go to Arsenal.
I know
he did,
and you might have had a point.
I said
you might have had a
who's
point.
Who's playing bad for you right now?
Martinelli and Trossard.
And where does Mbappe
they
play?
On, they play.
Listen, Mbappe is a bad fit culturally at Real Madrid. All right, you said it would have been better legacy wise if he made it work at Arsenal. Arsenal really need that number nine kind of figure. You're missing goals in the final third and those opportunities, bro. If you had Mbappe in the 6-yard box against Chelsea in that final minute,
in the what?
That's good.
I watched Romain Molina.
Yeah.
Yeah. He makes like YouTube videos because he's a journalist and he gets like insights into like dressing rooms and stuff
like
that.
Yeah, yeah.
There's
he's good.
Genuine like conversations of Mbappe causing shit at Real Madrid already.
You know, sometimes in the life.
How, so do you really?
It's almost like he has a reputation.
How
has done
him
that
and his mom are like this crazy duo that
but
just
here's the
terrorize
thing.
Every club they go to.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing.
Lay it down
in
for me.
There's so many big personalities. In the PSG dressing room, there was a lot.
God, he's talking like Trump, guys.
In the Real Madrid, whoa. Don't ever do that.
It's these.
That was good. In the Real Madrid dressing room, there's a lot of big personalities. Any big personalities there in the Arsenal dressing room?
There are.
Who? Yeah.
Odegaard, Saka?
Odegaard is not a big personality.
What?
Neither
like
is Saka.
Like super big names.
No, but big personality is
okay.
Different.
Personalities,
fair enough.
The biggest personality in there is probably like...
Declan Rice.
Zinchenko. Declan?
Yeah.
Gabriel.
Maybe, yeah.
Gabriel Saliba, perhaps.
So if he comes in and wants to be top dog, yeah, you're top dog. But Vinny's top dog in that team. Bellingham's top dog in that team.
You can't handle that many
Rodrigo
dogs.
Wants to be top dog in that team.
That's literally the problem I was outlining 2 seconds ago. Yeah.
No.
Messi wanted to be top dog in PSG. So did Neymar.
No.
Saka and Odegaard are top
no
dogs.
No leash that big.
But if him on the left, like we would literally win everything. I guarantee it. It won't happen. How long is this contract?
2029 or something?
Yeah, bro, it's not happening now. I'm sorry. But maybe you can rest easy knowing that Kylian thinks...
150 million plus Martinelli.
Okay. plus Martinelli. Yo, bro, send him to Real Madrid Castilla. He said plus Martinelli.
But if shit really hits the fan at Real Madrid, like, why can't someone just... Pay it
like,
off.
Just play
it. Fuck it.
Just pay.
Say they have an atrocious season. Finish third in the league. And
Mbappe's demanding
get eliminated in the knockout stages of the Champions League.
What's the highest ever? Neymar to...
Yeah, 2-2.
Highest
two
transfer?
2-2?
Yeah.
Okay, it'd have to be around that.
Yeah.
Arsenal can...
No, it doesn't have to be that high.
No, I think it'd have to be a little lower.
It could be south of 200.
Yeah, it could be south of 200.
It could... Like...
Yeah? Ring Kronk
maybe
here
sell
real quick.
Ethan Ari? Like, I don't know. Get some...
That's crazy.
That's insane.
Guys, I wanted it so bad.
That's a sellout right
there. Anyway.
Oh, my God.
I could have had Mbappe to Arsenal and Otani to the Blue Jays in the same freaking summer.
Yeah. Tough for you. But I just want to give you that shout out because, like, I actually am seeing rumblings that that should have been the case. And I'm like, ah.
It made
people weren't tuned in to the Made so much sense,
bro. And TT, bro. TT.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Continue the legacy. That'd be sick.
Yeah. Speaking of PSG.
The Man City game. We didn't finish.
Didn't we talk about that? Oh, okay. Go finish. What do you want to?
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, what do you want to finish talking?
There was
about?
Nothing else really. I'm sorry. I thought we were done. Just want to gaze at him some more.
I know. Go ahead. Like, crazy. Wait till he's your damn manager and you lose.
He is
our damn manager.
He is. He's in.
Wait till he
right
coaches
now.
The game. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Hey, he's our manager, mate. I don't know what you expect. I'm not gonna glaze Rude anymore. He's gone.
And yeah, Rude. I'm just. Why wouldn't you like keep him on? I don't know.
You wish. You thought Rude should stay.
I don't care. Like, I know he did well in the four games he was in charge.
Why wouldn't
like,
they keep Michael Carrick when Ole got sacked?
W Michael Carrick, bro.
Did the same thing, no?
Didn't bro, those assistants sucked, but they've actually gone on to do good things.
I'm saying, like, you don't keep interim United, managers. Yeah. They're interim managers for a reason.
But
they're not
Rude,
there.
There was no way that Rude could have stayed at United and it,
yeah, impossible.
It worked.
Impossible.
Like, he sure. couldn't have been our assistant coach because Ruben's got his own guy who's been with him since the Braga days, so you're not going to... You're not going to interrupt that.
Oh, that's day one. That's day one.
That's homie. That's homie right there.
Yeah.
And then what? If you make Rude a striker coach, that doesn't work. He's too big to be like a striking coach.
Sure.
And then plus, like, the minute the Southampton job becomes available, or the minute the Feyenoord job becomes available, or anything in, you know, Germany maybe, like, Rude is requesting an interview. You know
sure.
what I mean?
Sure.
So it just wouldn't make sense, right?
Okay.
So
thank you. Like, genuinely thank you for explaining.
I would
that.
Rather have Ruben bring his own guys. I want the players to be exposed to like a new culture. I don't
like
want them to be like
for the seventh time
for the
now.
Seventh time. Let's
bro,
expose them
to
a new
March
culture.
And then like, bro, the players are going like, ah, oh, we could get this guy sacked. And then his Root comes in for the rest of the season. You know?
It's like, no, we're not going there yet. But anyway,
how many cultures have they been exposed
so
to?
So many, so many.
Bro, I'm just fucking saying like the fucking culture is always put on the manager when the players have been through like fucking five of them. But I'm just.
Are you feeling bad for the players at this right now?
No, I'm saying they should get more scrutiny.
Yeah, and Bruno Fernandes. Sorry.
Hey, Bruno Fernandes' game at the weekend was spectacular.
I did not watch it, I'm going to be honest.
It was a great game.
Yeah, it was actually. You...
Okay, PSG.
PSG, what happened?
PSG won Atletico Madrid 2.
Man, what
didn't
a,
watch
with
game
a
there.
Last minute
what a genuine
Angel Correa winner.
Disgrace. Disgrace.
It's a fucking disgrace.
It is a fucking disgrace. That's the only way I can describe
you guys
this
are
game.
Cooked.
Because how are we...
Like, actually
like
cooked.
Like, genuinely cooked.
I said this in the group chat. How are we losing to an out-of-form Atletico who are playing one of the worst... how we're putting on one of the worst performances
that
I've ever seen so far in this Champions League campaign. Yep. Genuinely, Atletico Madrid played like dog shit.
Not doing well in the league either.
They were awful. And they're doing bad in La Liga as well.
Mm-hmm.
This is an Atletico Madrid that conceded 4 goals to Benfica, mm-hmm. who are having a bad season.
Well, better now.
Better now, but... I don't know. When this was happening, they were having a bad season. This is an Atletico Madrid who lost to Lille at home,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and we can't score one goal mm-hmm. past them at home.
So PSG currently sitting 25th. That is out of even the playoff spots in the Champions League. Their next games are...
Is Bayern at home?
Is
oh, my God.
Then we have Salzburg... No, Bayern away, sorry. Bayern away. So Bayern at the Allianz.
Oh, my God.
Then we have Salzburg.
Then Salzburg away.
Away. Then we receive Man City.
Fucking, oh my God, and then you play Man City, and then you play Stuttgart.
And then we play Stuttgart, who is a great team.
Holy fuck,
Yanker
you are cooked.
Is...
Yeah.
You are cooked.
Enrique
wow.
out.
But we didn't see him crashing on the group chat that day.
Antoine doesn't crash out. That was like his version of a crash out.
Yeah, that was my version of a crash out.
I understand you. He doesn't get you, I do, so don't worry. What's left of you?
No, but seriously, like an actual genuine disgrace.
Yeah, it's tough.
It is really
it's
tough.
Like the players panic once it's Champions League, and then they show me the best football I've ever seen when it's Liga.
When it's
but
farmers.
I mean that shows the level of difference in these leagues.
Pablo Berrios, remember the name.
That's what I'm saying. Like, bro,
thanks for Atletico Madrid.
I think like PSG, I don't think will ever be ready to step it up in Europe until they're forced to step it up in their league. I think you're not challenged enough on a week-to-week basis where your players are, like, bred enough to really turn it on when they need to. Like, they're not put through any adversity in Liga,
Right. Well, then what's the point of even competing for it at that point?
What? Sorry, I had a clip plan. Just keep
no, but seriously, if they're not going to step it up for Champions League, what are you joining the club for? If you're not joining the club with ambitions to win the Champions League, you're joining the club to let me get a Ligue 1 trophy, let me get a free trophy in my cabinet. That's not why they joined the club.
That's not why they joined the club. But I'm just saying, like, when you're a player and week to week, you can give. You don't have to leave second gear.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's absolutely.
Like, you know. Like, have I really improved that much this season? Mm-hmm. No, but I'm putting up good numbers in Liga. So, like, I have the impression that I'm doing well. And then you get exposed in the Champions League against, you know, all these teams that are being challenged every single week. So, what the fuck are you doing?
It's called Farmer Song.
All that for that.
I don't think we'll get copyrighted because I only pay like 1 second of it. But I just, anyway, it would have been really, like, it would have worked. You get what I was going for?
No, I get it. Because like a Farmers League?
I still will never get over the one Liga game we won. That one time.
The one time we all tuned in.
It's like they tuned in.
Because he was hyping up PSG, and there's literally a tractor PSG in the background.
A full tractor.
It's not even, bro, there's no stands. It's just a field just as far as the eye can see.
Just a field of nothing and a tractor. Just mowing down the grass. Oh. That was the best moment of all time.
That's so funny. As far as the eye can see.
Anyway, you guys are cool.
Anywho. Anyways, you guys are fucked. Let's move on.
Thanks. That's a good point you make, though. Genuinely.
Yeah.
That's probably
so just
true.
Liga has a problem.
Is it? I mean, we've known this for a long
time.
But
it's getting better now, though.
It's not.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. Because you're referencing Marseille?
And Lille.
Okay. And
okay, like, what about
Monaco, SC Brest?
Monaco, well, Brest aren't like they're doing great. Like they're overperforming in the Champions League.
Yeah.
Like don't get me wrong, they're fourth in the Champions League table, but in the league it's a little, fair, a little less impressive.
Guys, we've been going for almost an hour. We haven't left the Champions League.
Yeah, that's crazy. But yeah, no, I understand referencing Marseille though as being better. They've been really bad under De Zerbi so far. Mm. Anyways, let's continue.
They've been bad.
Yeah, Deserby like, said Deserby, that. He had that quote. I saw that. Yeah.
Did you see the quote? Yeah. He said, "If I'm the problem, then I'm leaving."
Oh, did you see what he did? Did you see what he did after the most recent loss?
He showed his players his Manchester United offer from the summer, and saying that he turned it down because Marseille had more of a passion project than
which,
Manchester
by
United
the fucking way, is not fucking true. We did not give him a fucking contract.
Because you know
in
that.
The summer.
Yeah, because you're the insider.
He was the one signing it.
Yeah.
No,
his signature's on there.
Did we maybe have some talks with him behind closed doors before the FA Cup final?
You tell me.
Perchance. But was an actual fucking contract given to fucking Roberto De Zerbi of all people? Come on now. Let's
I mean,
be
who's Ben Seguir?
You don't know Elias Ben Seguir? Like, let me get you to know him. Like that Monaco, that listen to me. You don't know.
I just saw you had a good performance.
You don't know Elias Benzegui.
You don't know Justin Champetti. Nah. That's what you're counting like right now.
No, seriously, Blake.
Good
this,
player.
No, if you don't, if there's one name I want you to remember, if there's two names I want you to remember in this Monaco squad. What are you laughing at?
Who the fuck?
No, seriously.
Is it Aliouche the other guy?
Watch the pronunciation there. If there's two names I want you to remember in that Monaco squad, it's Elias Benzegui and Marnes Akliouche. Seriously, these two players are one of the only reasons why I still watch Ligue 1, like Monaco against like Le Havre or Monaco against the worst teams in Ligue 1. Seriously, these two players, sure, they have genuine magic at the bottom of their feet. They can produce chances whenever they want, and in a couple of years,
I knew
if they're spared of injuries in a couple of years, I seriously think they're going to be. Like, Akliouche could get called up for France in a couple years. Mm. In a couple months, I mean.
Akliouche could genuinely get called up for France in a couple months. But it's just funny whenever you...
Elias Benzegui has like 6 that. Goal contributions in 11 matches so far.
That's not everything. And
I'm just saying.
17, 18?
He's 19. 19, yeah.
19.
Moroccan. Good. Yeah.
Cool. Lively little player. You would love him at Arsenal. He's a left winger, too.
I would.
Yeah. A little backup for Martinelli. At this point, he's started.
Yeah.
We have a new Barcola before.
I know. Okay, go United. Go talk about your win.
Let's talk about United? All right, fair enough. United 3, Leicester 0. Moving on to the Prem now. In my notes, I wrote, we actually played well with a little crying emoji.
I didn't watch the game. It was the early start, right?
9 a.m. yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we actually played well. It was a great send-off for Ruud van Nistelrooy. Just the players, like, all, as far as it goes, like as far as like an all-around performance goes, I think this was the best of the season so far. Ugarte, Casemiro, they look fucking great as a midfield partnership.
I saw the Ugarte love on the timeline.
Ugarte actually looked really good, and I had my suspicions for him. But Ruud's given him 4 starts in a row since he's taken over as interim, and he's kind of grown into the team now. It's almost like if you give a run of games to a player, they're going to do well. Same thing with Amad Diallo, so... I like seeing it.
And there you go. There's the Ten Hag slander.
I
think about
the stuff I was saying about Ugarte before, I now take back. I am back on the train. All right. And I'm excited for what Amorim does with this guy.
Cool.
Even Casemiro's looking good, man. That's all I'm saying. As a midfield two by themselves, isolated.
It's scary.
Could go a little south.
You'll need Højlund to help out, like genuinely.
Well, we need the 2 10s to help out as well.
Two tens?
I still hate that.
We have 2 10s?
Because the wingers play as tens, like, and then the fullbacks.
Yeah, I feel like that's a little too narrow.
I literally just figured out the system right there.
Yeah.
To be honest,
he just said wingbacks, tens.
Well, no, the wingbacks.
I figured it out, guys.
The wingbacks are the ones that hug the touchline, and then the 2 10s are the
wingbacks
ones
provide the width and the 10.
Yeah, which again makes sense, but at the same time, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, even sending cross into the box, like I liked seeing it. It was kind of like an everybody eats kind of game, and I really liked seeing it. Garnacho, did you see
Garnacho.
That situation?
Oh, yeah, he didn't celebrate.
Alejandro Garnacho. So starting at the Pau game. In midweek, there was a fan outside of Old Trafford by all the kids that were getting autographs, and he's live streaming Garnacho, and he says to his face like, "Oi, Garnacho, you just got to work on your passing and your dribbling,
pass better next
and your
time.
First touch, and, and you're a little too selfish, mm-hmm. and you need to do all this and this and that and that." And then Garnacho, he's walking away, turns to the guy saying like, "Oh, you should be playing, mate." Super. Super disrespectful. That guy's kind of a reputation in the United fan base as being like a little bit of a prick.
Mm-hmm.
I used to actually watch him on the United stand, but now like he's fully like gone crazy. But no, just honestly, super disrespectful. Like it's one thing like saying it behind a screen or just being like an anonymous account or like, like saying it from a place of wanting the player to do better. But there are certain characters that just would be okay with seeing the world burn if it meant they could cover it and get clicks. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Fair.
Like, he knew that saying that to Garnacho to his face wouldn't actually do anything to make Garnacho better. Wouldn't do anything to actually help out the player because...
Clearly got to him, though.
Well, it did get to him.
Which,
but
that's...
But
that's just because he took it well. The intentions was not to make it... Like, the intentions was clearly...
Well, this is the thing, bro. Garnacho is... Bro, he's 20 years old.
Lad, don't... If you're going to tell me that... If you're going to tell me, like, give me a sob story about how this guy,
No, I'm just saying. He's at the biggest club in the world. He has all these world-class coaches around him. He...
You didn't have to go there, and you went there.
So. I'm saying he has all these coaches around him. He has all these players, these veterans that
Remove
are there
the
to support him. He knows he has to pass better. His first touch could do work. He has to finish the ball better. He knows these things, bro.
Okay.
He doesn't need fucking John 25 from Stockport to be slagging him outside of Old Trafford and telling him these things.
Absolutely. I don't disagree with you. That guy shouldn't have said that. Like, it's just dumb. And you're just being a nuisance for no reason. However, like, it's kind of like the whole Brendan Johnson situation. Like, Brendan Johnson got a lot of criticism online. And then, you know, he got better because of it. If Garnacho's like, and he kind of didn't celebrate as well, if it becomes like a thing where it's like Garnacho can't handle, you know what I mean? It could be taken in a different way where
the thing is, like, he's proven time and time again that he can. It's just like
a
simple, like, bit of like a, not even a rough patch of form. Like,
seriously.
He was a little bit quiet against Pauk, sure. And he didn't make the best decisions against Chelsea, but like he's been our best attacker this season, I think.
Best attacker and scariest threat, for sure.
100%.
Sure.
100%.
Sure.
It's one thing to say it online, but in person, when you know there's literally zero points to saying that, it doesn't make sense.
Us even talk, like, I get it. It's just, but he's within his right technically to say that. He shouldn't have said it, but this is what it's like. He's still an idiot for saying it.
Just to say it to the face of a professional footballer is just a whole different level of disrespect. That's what it is.
I don't disagree at all. I just...
No.
He's in his right to do it.
Yeah. I mean, Garnacho knows he has to improve. He has been improving. Yeah. He scored that goal. Like, does he have to be a little bit petty about it and not celebrate? No, that's a little bit extra, for being honest.
Yeah.
Like, that's part of the gig. As of being a United player, you're going to get criticism. Yeah, you're going to get too much love when you're doing well. You're going to get too much hate when you're doing badly. That's just part of the gig, really.
For sure. Yeah.
Like, the fans need to get behind him. This is the Carrington product. Like, this is an academy product. Mm-hmm. We should all get behind him and support him even through the rough times, mm-hmm. and not be the first to fucking slag him off and give him this slander when it's going wrong. I was on United Twitter, I saw somebody calling Hoyland. I saw this tweet. Hoylakos with another terrible performance.
Hoylakos? I don't get it.
Holocaust.
Oh, well, that's just terrible.
That's coming from a United fan. Like, come on.
That's insane.
But you want Joshua Zirkzee to start, so you're slagging off these players.
You want Joshua Zirkzee to start, and your club's further in the mud than I thought.
See, you're a rival fan, so I'd expect that from you. But, like, that level of, like...
Well, that's just banter, innit?
Like, I know. But, like, that level of slander coming from United fans, like, yeah, come on, that's getting, like, a little bit much. Like,
yeah.
That's what I'm saying. There's a fine line between saying where a player needs to improve, just,
absolutely.
Like, you know, criticizing them as players,
mm-hmm.
constructive criticism as players, mm-hmm. and then just slagging them off because you want a few clicks
on
your podcast.
But at the same time, like, that's what comes in a big market. Like, don't suck it up, but...
And we are we being a little bit of hypocrites by saying that? Perhaps.
Perchance.
One of our biggest video lately has been him hating on John Duran. Based off of what?
Duran.
I don't know. But that's just...
Did he score this weekend? I'm kidding.
But that's just... There. That is the game we play on social media, unfortunately.
Absolutely.
But sometimes it does create these bad actors.
Well, no, but it's like, it needs to come from, like I said, you can criticize a player, but it has to come from a place of genuine, like...
Logic.
And not...
Okay. And, like, wanting the player to improve.
Yeah. And it comes from a place of hatred, and that's just... Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when you're a fan of that team. That makes it even worse.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move off this game now. Brighton 2, Man City 1. We kind of touched on the Man City
fantastic.
Downfall before, but just fantastic.
That got the bird flying, Blake.
That got,
as he says,
the seagulls got the seagull flying.
Where did you get that from? Is that your expression? We should.
The one expression I do have is yikers. That one I got myself.
Okay.
You know how you heard me say that, right?
Yikers. I feel like I was hearing
okay,
that
sure.
in like grade 12 or
okay,
something.
Okay, sure, whatever.
But.
No, that one wasn't.
Bird flying?
That one's for my boy's back home at Whippy. That was an elephant in the room, actually. But no, that one's from my boys back in Whippy. Shout out. They won't listen to this, but shit. Okay.
Are you all right?
Yes, I just.
No, good. Oh, good.
I needed a blow of the nose.
There you go. Shout out to Massimo. He taught me that one, but.
Fair.
He's also a United fan.
Shout out Massimo.
Yeah, he's a good lad.
Yeah.
Massimo. Wasn't there a Massimo in this program?
Probably.
I don't think
that
so.
That left? I think
yeah,
left.
I think so. But anyway, and I got Chat from Ireland. Shout out Ireland. Love you, girl.
Yeah. But Chat's a little mainstream as well.
Yeah,
sure.
Chat.
But I got all of y'all saying that shit. So.
Yeah, Chat.
I never caved.
You okay. got me saying
I'm proud to say.
Right enough.
And I made Yikers, instead. By the way. So you got me on lads. I'm a lad guy now.
Sorry, anyways, but the Man City game, the
oh,
the seagull is flying.
Can we please talk about Daniel Welbeck?
Wow.
Wow.
I know.
How old is that man?
37.
30 fucking 7.
I have no idea. That's a fat guess, but I think that's right.
He's like 33.
Really? 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 Danny Welbeck age, 37. He's 33.
So anyway.
33.
He's just been around for, like, yeah. Guys, he won a title with United. Like, that's how long he's been around.
Wow.
Not to shit on you guys, but Jay, yeah. Like, the last time he won a title was like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, that's how long he's been around. That's how
they didn't win one with Arsenal, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely not. He almost did, though.
2016?
What, a few FA Cups?
The Leicester one, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But no, genuinely, like, he's just, again, he didn't score in this game, but his hold-up play, his link-up play, he just does so many things. Like, he's so good.
Do you see that goal?
It's the fact that he's starting over Evan Ferguson when Evan Ferguson has that crazy potential on his head.
Yeah, but Evan Ferguson's stock is really dropping.
Well, yeah, but
it has dropped a little bit. Yeah,
it has dropped, but he was tipped to be one of the great strikers of in the Premier League.
Absolutely,
and then Welbeck's starting over him. So,
what were you gonna say, Miles?
No, I was just saying, did you guys see that second goal? Brighton's second goal from that. He's the Danish. He's Irish. Who's the fucking guy that scored the second goal?
Oh, it's this youngster. Yeah.
O'Reilly?
O'Reilly. Yeah.
Was it like his first start or something?
First start, yeah.
Wow.
First game. He got
he
some.
Came
wow.
on
That's
a
crazy
and he
debut.
Scored a great goal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great
I love goal. Those types of goals.
Lads, Welbeck, 8 goal contributions already this season. 6 goals, 2 assists.
Love the guy. I fucking love the guy.
I love
him. A few of those against United, so I don't love the guy.
There's nothing better than seeing like an old player who's been around the Prem forever and he just starts kind of...
He still has it.
He just has that season. I mean, not that season, but he has a few good seasons where you're like, he's like some fine wine, you know? No. So, yeah.
Good bloke. And City, again, just the same thing. Not the same thing that happened in the Sporting game, but just more of the same. Just can't withstand.
They cannot control the midfield like I'm used to them seeing.
Yeah, dude, Kovacic and Lewis just... It's in, Kovacic just cannot replace Rodri whatsoever. Guys,
are we gonna talk about how like bad Mateus that transfer? Nunes? Yeah, are we gonna talk about bad.
No, it wasn't a bad transfer.
He's been okay, but again, he can't fill the Rodri role
for 50 million after Pep bigged him up for his coach not playing him.
Look,
that's the whole reason why they bought him. Because remember that whole thing is that Nunes.
Did they
sign
him last summer or this summer?
Last summer.
Bro, he's been fine.
He's been okay.
He hasn't
played. You have to give it time with City players because they always have a quiet first year. Yeah, but
has Grealish been fine? No, he's been bad.
Yeah, that's true. Calvin Phillips, too.
Anyway.
But yeah, no, Kovacic cannot replace Rodri. Like, seriously.
He can do a job every now and again, but consistency. That's what it is.
His pass
right?
on the Holland goal was good. There's moments of brilliance there, but this is Rodri was doing it in the entire game. He just can't hold it the entire game.
That's what separates the Rodris from the Casemiros right now. Because Casemiro had a good game on the weekend, but not all the time. From the Thomas Partey's. Thomas Partey had a good game on the weekend, but he doesn't do all the time.
Yeah.
So.
No, you're right. Four losses in a row for Pep, and it is the first time that has ever happened
entire career.
At Man City. Wow. Bird is soaring at that one.
And what did he say at the end of the game, lads? Did you see?
It was the first time for everything?
No, he said, he did. But I think he also said, like, it's been so long, maybe it's time someone else wins.
Oh.
You guys didn't see that?
He said that.
Oh, I saw something.
Hold on, I'm going to get the
These are just mind games, bro. Before he played Sporting, he was saying that Ruben Amorim's a better manager than him. Like, it's just mind games, bro. He just says this outrageous stuff. But actually, did you hear what Liam Gallagher said after the Sporting game?
No.
He's like very, very close friends with Man City. They hang out every single game where Gallagher's there. And he was saying that it felt like the end of an era on like City's like... Twitter space post-match thing. He said he feels like an end of an era with Guardiola, so he kind of gave a hint that he knows that it's his last season. Again, saying with 100% certainty that at least by 2 weeks ago it was supposed to be Amorim to City.
That was really good. I loved when you talked, like genuinely, when you pointed that out.
The comments did bring up Al Nassr, which I'm not going to lie, when I saw that I went, maybe true.
Yeah, but from a money perspective, sure.
No, but what would
but
a
from
young
a coaching perspective,
like that, no,
why the hell would he go to Al Nassr?
Well, he did reject a 3x offer, so that
but that's what I mean.
Up.
Okay, yeah, fair.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah. But again, sporting director. Let's not forget.
sporting director.
It always gets us.
But yeah, no, it's looking tough in City Land, which again, we talked about is it's looking more tough, you guys think, than Arsenal. I think they're both equally tough, if you ask me.
Yeah.
But
look, at least De Bruyne is back. Maybe we'll see some.
That's the thing. Like when they actually have to make chances, when they have De Bruyne and Haaland on the same pitch is beautiful. But the problem is they can't retain the ball enough to make those chances.
Yeah.
So
it's crazy that we're saying City can't retain the ball enough when
they're known to be
passing it around the box like it's basketball.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh my god. Besides that, I mean, there's the Arsenal Chelsea draw, which we kind of touched on before.
They played. I think both teams. Played decent enough. I do think we should have won the game.
What did you think of Havertz shushing the crowd?
They've hated on him for the whole time he's been at Arsenal.
That's what I'm saying.
After literally getting you a Champions League. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, all power to him. If I was a Chelsea fan, I'd be mad, of course. But all the power to him. Like, what do you think, Miles?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, they've also, like, it's well recorded that Chelsea fans are so salty.
So salty.
For how well he's, well, obviously this season's been a rough patch, but, like, how well he's done
ever
since he's left Chelsea. No. But, I don't know, like, has the game gone soft, question mark?
Yeah.
God damn it. Like,
of course it was offside, too, but.
Chelsea fans are insufferable as well. They are insufferable.
They're
so.
But that's what I mean. Like, Havertz can do that. He's good at creating space. He's good at, like, finding chances.
Mm-hmm.
But he's good at creating space like without the ball, but with the ball, like he's not just going to run at someone and score. He's not going to score a long shot. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He's not going to do these crazy things that change the game on a dynamic level. He's going to win a header from across from a set piece. He's going to score the chances that you expect him to score. And he's a very solid number 9, but he isn't a game breaker.
Yeah. Agreed.
But shout out to Odegaard coming back. He played fantastic. What a player.
It's actually insane how different of a team you guys look with him and without him.
Well, we should have won that game. Like, we had so many chances at the end. Like, what are we doing? Oh, my God. Anyway.
I just want to give a shout out to Caicedo. I thought he was brilliant.
And it looks like Chelsea are finally getting a little bit of their money's worth with that. Even though it's an outrageous price tag.
Last season, he was silently decent, I feel like. Especially at the end of the season, he started really stepping it up.
But nowhere near like what he's playing right now. Now
Mudrick is terrible, though, lads. Like, he does not get it.
Also, Palmer kind of dropped his... I thought Palmer was...
Yeah, Palmer didn't have the best game.
Palmer didn't have the best game, which, again, has been a criticism of his. He doesn't do much in big games.
I still think that's a bit of a myth, but...
But I'm just saying, that's what I've seen from... Like, again, Saka didn't contribute to a goal, but I thought he played well overall.
Yeah.
A lot better than Martinelli.
You know, it's mostly Palmer's first touch that was letting him down most of the time. Mm-hmm. Like, in dangerous... The amount of dangerous situations that Chelsea could have been in, but have... Were let down because of Palmer's either bad decision-making or bad first touch. I mean, it's just one game, but yeah. He didn't have the best game for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the only other game really worthy of talking about is Liverpool beating Villa.
Oh, you... Again, there is another game worthy of talking about, you loser.
Which one?
Ipswich! Oh my God. Ipswich! First win in like 20 years. Shout out to the Ipswich boys.
Of course.
Tottenham are always serial losers. Even when Arsenal are on bad run of form, they still manage to completely bottle it. And I love it. No more calls from expressions to Robbie today, or this week.
Is Ange under pressure?
Yes, absolutely.
No.
I think he has to be.
Sure.
I think he has to
be. Did you see that video of him walking down the tunnel and some fan yelled something at him and he turned back and probably like projected his aura onto him, gave him like a mean stare?
Projected his aura is crazy.
I didn't see that, no.
No, it proper pissed him off. Why am I talking like this, bro? It proper pissed him off. No, he was walking down the tunnel, a fan said something in the stands, and then he turned back and kind of stared at him, probably said something a little bit over the top. Yeah, it wasn't good. If you're going down 2-0 to Ipswich in what is like their first win in the Prem in like 20 years, then like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know what to think of Spurs anymore. Like, they drop points. They drop points to Crystal Palace, who at the time were bottom of the league, or drop zone. And then now they're dropping points to Ipswich, who are another, you know, basically guaranteed for relegation. So we have to have a conversation about that.
Sorry, it's just funny.
As I was saying that, Blake is passing around a photo of Erik ten Hag's bald head.
And with the tagline, Pep Guardiola without Rodri.
Oh, I didn't.
Funny.
Guy, okay, what do you think? What do you think,
it's difficult. It's difficult to.
What do you think? What for?
To decipher
Tottenham?
From this. It's really difficult to analyze this Spurs situation because.
Sorry, I was.
You know how Ange Postecoglou said that he always wins trophies in his second season.
Yes.
He beat Manchester City in the Carabao Cup. So I feel like, from a trophy perspective and how the board's looking at it, I guess he's kind of living up to what he's saying because he's still in the running for the most attainable trophy they can probably get.
Yeah.
But if you look at the league, it's not been looking too pretty lately. I don't know.
You know, I don't know with Ange. The thing is, how I measure a manager's success is, are they getting the best out of their team? That should be how we all do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think Ange is kind of reaching the limits of the squad that he has. Son is in and out of the team. Solanke is a little bit inconsistent this season. When if you look at the surrounding pieces, like Brennan Johnson, even Bentancur in the back line, like, they're a cool team.
Well,
they're a Champions League side at best. I know like the position isn't like fantastic right now, but like I honestly wouldn't expect too much less from Spurs this season in terms of results and form.
Well, I don't think he is getting the best out of his players. I mean, look at Solanke last season.
But I'm not even like that convinced about Solanke. Like I wasn't that high on him anyway.
Well, I mean, if you can score 20 Premier League goals in a Bournemouth team. And then you go to Tottenham, who is a better team with better players around you who can create better opportunities for you.
You would expect some.
You would expect,
but I was still iffy on him before.
And it's like, not even like Tottenham's a team that everyone plays low block against and that are so attacking and so intimidating in front of goal. It's Tottenham at the end of the day. Like you won't play low block against a Tottenham, which means that Solanke should be having more opportunity or more chances of goal at goal.
No, you're right. But I just look at the teams that are better on paper, and there's like four or five of them where I'm like, that's just a better unit than them. Like, that's just a better squad.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
fair. But how many seasons has Arsenal had that same situation where...
Of course.
Under Arteta for the first few seasons, yeah.
So, City, Arsenal, Liverpool, obviously better. I mean, Liverpool is, you know, first year under slots. And then Villa is better. Is a better squad. Honestly, I think on paper, United is on the same level as Spurs.
Yeah.
On paper, 100%. And then Newcastle is comparable. So, like I'm not that surprised on how they're doing. Chelsea as well. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I forgot about Chelsea. Yeah. So, if you look at the top six squads, Spurs arguably has the worst.
Yeah.
So, plus there's your Newcastles and your Villas. So, you know.
Fair.
Yeah. That's the thing, right? Like, what manager would get better out of this team is what you have to ask as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many managers could do better.
That's what I'm saying. Just take it one transfer window at a time. I know.
Exactly.
They weren't making much movements until they got Solanke in this transfer window, but if they do exactly what Arsenal did with Arteta and they take it one transfer window at a time, taking the deadwood out, bringing some players that can reinforce the squad in, then bit by bit, Postecoglou's ideas and way of playing are going to set in with the players, and it'll start working.
Which is capable of, absolutely. But yeah, pressure, of course, is the Premier League. There's no job without pressure, but yeah.
To end off the pod, I just have a question for everyone. I think we're done, right?
FPL roundup, and there's something else I want to say.
Okay.
But go on.
I just wanted to shout out. Well, I want to give some shout outs to Bafétimbi Gomis.
Of course.
Retiring. Just iconic celebration. So I want to go around the room.
Go on.
And why did you look at me like that?
That was the lion one, right?
The crawling one.
Yeah.
So I want to go around the room. And what is the most, your favorite or most iconic celebration that you can remember? Obviously, like the Sioux, but like, what's your favorite, like, iconic celebration?
Mine's pretty easy.
It's going to be this one or it's going to be this one.
What's this?
You remember when Griezmann did this?
No, it's...
Yeah, okay.
Of course. Or during the World Cup.
Oh, God.
So Griezmann celebrations
It's not a great celebration, but it's iconic.
Yeah.
He was taken. Griezmann was taking the L on every single opponent he was scoring on in the World Cup. He scored a goal in the World Cup final and went up to the Croatia fans and went like this. That's
pretty aura.
Fucking insane.
Pretty aura.
That's
I have mine.
Fucking nuts.
That's cringe, bro.
I have mine.
That's cringe. What was he supposed to, like, bro? He was not gonna lose that game. I'm like, come on now.
Right. Hey, allow it.
It was possible.
Nah. Mine is Giroud's scorpion celebration.
Yeah.
What did he do?
That was the
game he scored after. He did the scorpion celebration.
He scored a goal the next game.
So after he scored the crazy scorpion goal.
Oh, really?
It was on FIFA.
You don't know that?
It was on FIFA.
It was on FIFA, bro. You big fucking fan. Love that celebration. He looks so stupid doing it, but I loved it.
He did look very dumb doing it.
Mine are two polar opposites. Either like a crazy acrobatic celebration. I'm talking like a nanny or an Aubameyang.
So I need one. This isn't an all. I need one celebration.
I was gonna say like
multiple choice here.
Like, the what? Stoic ones as well.
The stoic like, ones, like just
like Bellingham going like this and just chilling, or or the non-celebrations like Cantona's chip against Leeds. I don't know if you're talking about. Or he chips at the edge of the box. It goes in. The whole crowd's going crazy and just stands there. Like,
yeah, that's
unfazed. I love those.
Pogba
ones.
Against Switzerland in the Euro.
Yes.
I like that.
Yes.
Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang front flip. Just no. I had it way before you even thought of it. So
that's bar fair. For bar.
I'm kidding. Nah, I just like back in the day when goals weren't. Coming in that often.
Yeah, fair.
You know, to see it happen.
I'm trying to find the scorpion celebration for you. Oh, here it is. It's so good.
You never seen that.
I thought he was like clicking his like doing the Irish thing.
No.
I'm dumb
as against
fuck.
Bournemouth too. I love that yellow kid. Gabriel Paulista. He'd do such a job right now.
All
right.
He wouldn't.
Yes, he would.
He's a center back, no?
Yeah.
You're fine. Okay. You're fine. You're good.
Okay.
My one little thing. did you guys see the in Argentina today?
So like, okay.
No, listen. In Argentina today, did you see a Minecraft streamer that was brought on or actually started a professional game in Argentina?
What are you talking about right now?
So in a match.
This is such a clip farm, bro.
Talking about Minecraft. Like, this is clip farm, dude.
Anyway,
literally.
Go ahead. Continue farming.
No, I'm not even farming. I saw this on Debatable Football Opinions.
This won't be a TikTok?
It might be a TikTok.
Got him.
It might be a TikTok. Depends. We'll see. But you didn't see it?
Didn't see it. Definitely fucking
no, just explain.
It.
Go ahead, Lex.
Explain your shitty story.
So, against Vélez, who is like the best team in Argentina.
Yeah.
Like, this is like not some like scrub game. Mm. Like, not like Stockport starting Tope Jijil. It's not like Stockport starting Tope Jijil in the game. Okay. All right.
That didn't happen, by the way. It was his brother, but anyway.
I know. But I'm just saying, like, this isn't like some lower league thing. This is like the best team in Argentina right now. They were playing against the team that was in ninth place, and they started a streamer named Spreen, who has never played football before. Today, he made his professional debut and played the first 59 seconds of the game before being subbed out.
59 seconds?
So 59 seconds.
So why did he do it?
Yeah, what's going on? Like,
just for vibes. Just for publicity.
What was the game?
Literally today. Go to FootMob.
Oh, yeah, I see.
And the first game, Deportivo Riestra versus Vélez. And then look at the substitutions. There was one in the second minute.
Where? I don't see it.
That's his proper name.
Go to the substitutions. Oh, Buhajurek.
Yeah, that's his name right there. But he's known as Spreen.
Minutes, his FootMob stats are crazy. If you go on his account, it's minutes played one, started one, matches one.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
That's so weird.
One Sebastian Varane.
5.4 million followers.
Oh, interesting.
Check his story.
Keep talking to you.
One Sebastian Varane, the old midfielder.
Was just in the dressing room, just getting his boots off.
He's never played football before, by the way.
There had to be a reason behind this.
I don't know. Probably. Look, like,
We have to translate all because it's in Spanish.
You guys better not call Liga and Farmers League ever fucking again, all right?
Guy in the youth system who couldn't cut it with 100 goals in a season is fuming right now.
That's crazy.
One Sebastian Varane came out and said this is a total lack of respect for football and football players.
Absolutely.
I completely agree. I'm just kidding.
You have semi-pro players dying to get on the pitch streamer.
You guys want to see his highlights? Here he is. Starting the game, walking around, and then coming off.
Wow.
No.
What are they?
I'm saying this for genuine laughs. Like,
no, that's actually,
I'm
no, it's funny. It's like, funny. That's just, that edit's lame. It's fucking crazy. I don't like that edit.
Yeah, it looks like a donut. Yeah. What a disgrace. Anyway.
It is.
Good story. Good clip form. I like that.
I just saw it today, and I was like, you know what? I'm going
to
mention this.
Don't forget to like and subscribe.
I have others, too, but we don't have time for those today.
Yeah, no, we don't.
Yeah.
We do have time for FPL Roundup.
Yes, we do.
With Blake Salabis, because I've been doing it the past couple weeks, because I've been doing better, guys.
Oh my god, I hate FPL so much. It's like
Antoine,
my fifth Reddit.
Antoine actually did make the deadline. Clap for Antoine, everyone. Good job.
Like 3 a.m. crisis.
This is what happens when Antoine makes the fucking deadline.
I
know.
3 a.m. crisis. I remember texting you guys.
So at the bottom is.
You actually have such a sick team. How many transfers did you make?
5.
Oh my god.
You had 5 stacked up?
I had 5.
That's basically a wild card.
Okay,
though.
So we had Miles Upberg at the bottom. That's with 42 points. Onana came in with the 9 point, which apparently, like, crazy.
We're
crazy
making goalkeeper transfers now?
Crazy.
What are we doing?
And then Captain Holland with 10, but obviously that wasn't.
Who was your other keeper that you sold?
Raya.
Yeah, low key fair. Oh, low key fair.
7 points
swing. Fair.
We take that.
And then Julian came in third for the week. Had 43 points. Only one better than Miles. His best player was Mateus Cunha, which was a good little thing. I was along with Aiden Nouri. Other than that, not much besides the Holland goal. No one left on the bench, so we take that.
Another red arrow, bro.
Yeah.
I can't take it anymore.
Blake had a green arrow again. He's now, I'm not 6 million in the world. I'm like 5 something now.
Oh,
no, but genuinely.
There's
like,
there's an inactive player is higher than you. Sorry.
My bad. Like, do you feel better about yourself or something? Like, okay.
I do.
I had 50 points, one above average, which isn't great, but. Never doubt Emma Smith Rowe, who got 11 points for me this week, which is fantastic.
Yes, sir.
And then, of course, Macawoni and Cheese, Antoine Leonard.
Does he even play anymore? Macawoni?
Macawoni? Sorry.
Does he even? No, he doesn't. Damn, dude.
Captain Salah for a 28-point total was fantastic. A blank from Lewis, but that didn't hurt him as Isaac Cunha.
No, it hurt me. Yeah. I want Lewis gone.
Did you say Isaac?
Yeah, Alex, yeah. Isak?
Yeah.
Like, are we really doing name police right now?
We are.
Isaac Cunha and Mbermo.
Isaac is crazy.
ISAAC. That's Isaac.
Okay, okay, Antoine Leonard.
It's actually Leonard.
No, it's not, though, but if I...
That was good.
Oh, my God, and that's a PL roundup.
It's actually Mateusz.
This guy, I literally coughed in my shirt. Oh, my God. You're the one who's like, Mesia Fika, blah, blah, says a random thing all the time. Like, there's actually a genuine debate. What's better? Because people have two different opinions on this, and then we'll actually shut up and
the
go
football
away.
Or the club?
Yeah, football is... I go back on that. What is more respectful? Saying the word in your own... Like the name in your own mother tongue and accent, or trying to fake an accent. But exactly, it's subjective. So let's relax, everyone.
Let's relax.
But like, Isaac is crazy.
Okay.
That's just not how you say it.
Alex, okay.
That's not how it's
spelled. I'm sorry. I'll call him Isaac from now on. But when he was coming up, before he went to Newcastle, when he was at.
You got it.
So yeah, see that, okay. Yeah. I know. But when he was there, and I signed him on all my career modes, I knew it was Alex Isaac.
Okay. You were scouting him at Sociedad. I love that.
Bro, guys,
everybody knew
I know
bro,
these yeah. players.
You're scouting him
you know who's a wonder kid failure is Antonio Sanabria, and I bring him all the time. Yeah. I wonder how he's doing.
Yeah. Sanabria. Crazy. Wow. I actually just signed Cunha on my Benfica career mode. Shout out.
Did you buy 25?
Yeah.
Yes!
Oh, he's done it.
Can we run clubs?
I'm so down.
Oh, it's so bad.
Oh,
it's
my God.
Way. It's gone the way of my weekends. So
Antonio
much.
Sanabria is with Torino. 2 goals already this season. My boy.
Boy.
You take that.
I love that for him.
I love
that
for him,
too. My Benfica career mode? Giovanni Quenda just got an assist against Man City. 17-year-old.
Oh, the Sporting guy?
Right, yep.
Yeah, I know about him.
Remember the fucking name.
I know about him. Don't worry.
So when this guy goes and says, remember the name, we're like, yeah, let's remember the name. But
no, because,
me,
no, because
oh,
we're dying of laughter.
No, because it's your shtick. That's why.
Betancourt's...
boys.
Doesn't have the same.
No. Betancourt's
baby boys.
BBB.
Anyway,
triple B. I have to do this assignment.
It's not Jadal Katongo, but. Exactly.
Speaking of Betancourt, Pablo Betancourt is confirmed going to the City Trophy Tour, everybody.
Hey, it's actually, and on that note,
it's also a watch along for the Liverpool game at the end of the month.
Oh, there you go.
Yes, if I want to come. I've never said no quicker.
There you go.
But no, that'll be fun for him. Anywho, let's wrap up this pod, everybody. International break!
We're not coming back next week. Probably not.
No, we should.
We are.
We'll see.
We can come up with stuff. We can make 11s. We can make lists.
We'll see.
We can have debates.
We can analyze
it
international games.
It also is the
games.
Night before my show day, so we'll see.
We can analyze international games. Oh,
come on.
How about that?
We'll see.
How about that? Thoughts,
okay, end the pod.
Smiles.
I'm
sorry, what?
Thoughts on analyzing international games?
I would love to.
Yeah, I'm not coming.
Wales versus Georgia. Georgia won. Wales won. All
right, let's end.
Take it away.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to another episode of the 6 Yard Box
Sorry
Podcast.
If the levels are weird this time, guys. It's not our fault.
Yeah, if the audio's bad, our apologies. Yeah.
No, you know what? Jew is on post-production.
Jew's
going to save everything.
But Blake cooks all the time, though.
Yeah, Blake does cook.
He's just sous chef. You know what I mean?
Sous chef. No, he's the head chef.
Okay.
Anyway.
No.
Okay.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to another episode of the pod. We love these so much. I can't believe 69 of these have gone by already. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk to you for 70 next week before we fucking know it. Thank you again, everybody, and see ya.
We out.
See ya.
Bye-bye.